Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Choice on my part today, but I'll stand by it. Depeche Mode is your artist of the day, and in my ear, all I hear is Will going, "Guess who for artist of the day?"
You say it like it's a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing.
Like it's not a great choice.
I need to do my research. We'll give the keyword out here in a minute. Can we do it now? Is it? No, we cannot. Okay. We'll do it here in a few minutes. UFO fever has gripped North Carolina after a group of strange lights were filmed off the North Carolina coast. In a 31-second video posted to YouTube this week, Indiana man William Guy refers to the footage as a, quote, real UFO sighting. The video was filmed as Guy was riding a ferry, shows 14 glowing balls over the water as the sun sets. Nothing can be seen around the glowing orbs, which seem to hover well above the water surface in the footage, which was taken near the Outer Banks group of islands. You love this stuff.
I think it's very odd. It's a lot of glowing light orb things, and they don't know what it is.
Welcome to Art Bell. Our telephone number is 576-7798.
Well, you explain those lights, Scott.
I can't.
I know you can't.
I told you, Maya and I saw something in the sky. It was around dusk one night about 6 months ago. And to this day, I still can't explain it. I don't know what it was. But do I hear something in the background?
No.
Do you have that TV on too?
Just me. No. Guess what I saw over the weekend, speaking of glowing orby lights, and it was just on in the kitchen. And then before I know it, I'm watching it. How long has it been since you've seen E.T.?
35 years.
It holds up okay. It's not as revolutionary as it was like back when we all saw it in the early 80s.
1984.
How do you know that?
I just know.
That's a weird thing.
Ask me anything about the 80s and I can tell you.
That's a weird thing for you to know.
Except for it was 82.
Oh, was it 82?
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Like, I'm watching one of the scenes where he's got the speak and spell tied to something, tied to a fork, and then somehow they're, you know, talking to the mothership through that. I'm like, I don't know that would hold up today. But the rest of it, I was like, aw.
Science fiction in general, though, seems to hold up pretty well because of the fact that it is science-y.
Yeah. Like, Alien still scares the heck out of me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That spaghetti scene? Uh-uh.
Oh, speaking of movies, I have a funny story. So, you know, we had already gone and saw the new Rambo a couple of weeks ago. But my mom, who, believe it or not, is a gigantic Rambo fan, was dying to go.
Yeah.
And so we took my mom to go see the new Rambo yesterday. This was the only quote I got as we walked out of the theater from my mom. That is the most violent movie I have ever seen in my life.
Probably accurate.
Probably liked it.
She did like it.
All right.
I mean, this is a woman, and I love my mother. I adore St. Margaret. I really do. However, she can watch a movie where people's hearts are literally being carved out of their chest.
And she's good. She's good with it.
And she'll just sit there and go, that is dark, yet violent, and yet I'm still sitting here. If for whatever reason, in the course of the movie, people's pants fall off and they start trying to procreate, she's out.
It's a weird line to draw, but I guess.
That's
you know,
her line.
Everybody's that got their line.
My mother, for whatever reason.
Violence good, sex bad.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
She cannot watch two people in a movie doing the whoopee.
She does know that's how she got here, right?
Right. I think that's kind of how I may have gotten here.
What?
No way.
Yeah. I'm starting to settle in on that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Side note, doesn't everybody just want to think in their mind's eye that their parents only did that the necessary number of times to create however many children they have?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I'm one of two kids. I would like to think that my parents only did that two times.
Why does, and let's not get tawdry here, okay? Let's keep it above the board.
Sure.
But why does that bother us?
I don't know. It doesn't bother me, but wait, what bothers us? Like the idea
that our parents generally actually did that for fun,
because
not to procreate.
Because it's a gross mental image. No one wants to think of their parents nude.
Or their grandparents.
Or their grandparents.
Or their great-grandparents.
You're in timeout.
That's even worse.
I don't even know who my great-grandparents were. I know where you
were.
You
don't know who your great-grandparents were?
Well, I know who they... I've seen pictures of them.
But you never met them.
They were dead before I was born.
See, I vaguely remember my grandmother's mother who came to live with her toward the later end of her years. She was in a wheelchair, and I remember her hands were, you know, really, really... what's that word?
Arthritis-y?
Arthritic?
Yeah.
Arthritic.
And there are photos of me sitting on her lap when I'm 4 years old, maybe five, and then I think she passed after
See,
that.
See, and I'm thrilled. My children, or at least Sarah did, got to meet my grandmother before she died. I'm pretty sure Maya did too. But I never met my grandparents. Never met my great-grandparents.
I had a great-grandmother alive until I was in eighth grade.
No way.
Yeah.
Me too.
Wow.
I remember two great-grandmothers. I know that one of my great-grandfathers was alive when I was, because there's a photo of me sitting on his lap as a baby, but he died when I was, I think, a year and a half.
Hey, Will, ask Dana where she was made.
I even know this, but I'll go ahead and ask so the rest of the class can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dana, where were you made?
On a porch in Emporia, Kansas.
At approximately 3 a.m.,
I believe it was a late hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a mental image.
Yeah, no, my mom drops that nugget on us one day about 2 years ago on the air. I'm like,
nice.
Oh, my God.
So was there like a porch swing involved?
I didn't ask. I'm like, really?
Swinging.
Do you know what I found a couple weeks ago, which I find very odd? The house that I grew up in, I don't know if you guys have ever Googled your like first house where
you grew up,
right?
Uh-huh.
I've got this weird mental thing with that house. So
yeah, I saw your tweet.
Super weird.
I
don't know why I was Googling it, but I did. And a story pops up from WIBW in Topeka. The thing basically burned to the ground in 2016 or 17. Huge fire.
It's probably a meth
like
lab.
It was on the nightly news there. Like, and I sent it to my mom and I go, did you know that old house caught fire? I just found it very odd. It's very unsettling.
You hate that house.
I hate that house. God, I hate that house. I wish it had burned straight to the ground. Now,
wow.
No one was hurt. No one was injured. Everybody got out. But if that thing burned straight to the ground and there was nothing left, I would be very happy, but it didn't. It's now an apartment, which how gross is that?
Must have been a big house.
It was not.
Will Stern, Sam Stevie, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMVZ. You got to get down. Tell me. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Come on and get down on it. Story here from the Washington Post. The U.S. Supreme Court is preparing to consider how far states can go toward eliminating the insanity defense in criminal trials as it reviews the case of a Kansas man sentenced to die for killing four relatives. The High Court planned to hear arguments today in James Caller's case. He went to the home of his estranged wife's grandmother, about 20 miles south of Topeka. the weekend after Thanksgiving 2009, fatally shot the two women and his two teenage daughters. Not even Caller's attorneys have disputed that he did it. They've argued that he was in the grips of a depression so severe that he experienced an extreme emotional disturbance that disassociated him from reality.
Do you know who experienced an extreme emotional disturbance? His family members before he killed them.
In seeking a not guilty verdict due to his mental state, his defense at his trial in 2011 faced what critics see as an impossible legal standard. His attorneys now argue that Kansas violated the U.S. Constitution by denying him the right to pursue an insanity defense. The nation's highest court has given states broad latitude in how they treat mental illness in criminal cases, allowing five states, including the state of Kansas, to abolish what is known as the traditional insanity defense.
Did you know that?
I did not.
Kansas does not have an insanity defense. I assume Missouri does. I had no idea Kansas did not.
I did not know that. Thoughts?
So here it is. Montana, Idaho, Utah, and Kansas do not allow the insanity defense. Here's what I do know, and I'll look up the percentage. It never works. And when I say never, it never works. It's less than one half of one half of one half of 1% of cases will a jury go, oh, yeah, he's crazy. We're going to put him over here instead of over here. It's one of the least effective defenses you can bring.
I have always made the argument that to take another person's life, you have to be, and I use air quotes here, insane. There is, short of you.
Oh, see, I disagree.
Short of you breaking into my house, threatening my family, I will never, I promise you, I will go through life having never taken another human life. Now, obviously, there are exemptions to the rule, police officers, soldiers, et cetera.
I think, Scott, if you're a sociopath or like a serial killer, you do not process emotion the way the rest of us do. But I make no mistake, you know what you're doing.
That doesn't mean you don't know right from wrong.
You absolutely know right from wrong. I mean, look at all of them who have gone to extraordinary lengths to cover their tracks.
I mean, back to last week's topic, Johnny Robinson. By the way, ABC 2020, horrible.
Horrible. Don't even get me started.
That was horrible. Could Amy Robach actually get out of her car and do a stand-up, I don't know, maybe somewhere close to Kansas City?
No, she did not come here. Here's the deal. There was a case even more recently in the news a week ago, and it's Kyler Yust, who is saying his mental, you know, diminished capacity with all of his anxiety means he can't come to court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I put this out on Twitter. I said, so let me get this straight. You were competent enough, allegedly, to kill two women, hide them
allegedly
for years before anyone found them. You were competent enough to know that you had to torch one of the victim's cars, blowing off your eyebrows in the process, allegedly. But now that it's time for you to face the music, you aren't competent to stand there and participate in your own defense. And you start to see why these types of defenses never work.
Sure.
Juries don't buy it. You went to all of these steps to hide your crimes, allegedly, but now you have anxiety and you can't be in court. Aw.
Mm-hmm.
I said, take a Xanax like everybody else and you know what?
Well, but back to the Johnny Robinson example. I have no doubt that Johnny Robinson or BTK or whomever you want to pick, Grissom, I have no doubt that they're crazy.
Or just evil,
that
Scott.
That they're
just
fit,
evil.
I understand. That they're fit for a straitjacket, okay? However, because you're crazy, Johnny Robinson, not allegedly, BTK, not allegedly, didn't mean that you didn't know right from wrong. Hence, you tried to cover up, to your point, Dana, you tried to cover up your crimes because you knew what you did was wrong.
Regardless of the precise legal standard, the insanity defense is rarely raised and even more rarely successful. It is used in only about 1% of all cases in the United States. it is successful out of that 1% less than 25% of the time. So I don't know why this guy is pining for an insanity defense. It'll be interesting to see what the Supreme Court says. Do you have a legal right to bring that type of defense?
Telephone number here is 576.
It ain't going to work.
576-7798.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away.
All right, let's go. Man, I don't know where you got that weird song. Jim in Topeka. Hello, Jim.
Hello, hello. This brings up things I have worked very hard trying to forget. And his name is Kaler, hard A. And the lawyers that he had tried to present insanity as, I think, kind of a plea issue and what have you. But when you go through the chain of events and everything that went with it and how that he got there, how that he planned it, how that he did it, what was his actions afterwards, there is no way in the world that you could come to the conclusion that he didn't know what he was doing and didn't know right from wrong. And it would be a sad day that this is a way that the Supreme Court would have something to decide a case over insanity.
Well,
over.
And they're not deciding the case, Jim. To be clear, they're deciding whether you have the right to even try to bring that type of defense, because four or five states don't allow it. Kansas is one of them. They're not saying we're going to decide guilt or innocence. They're ruling on whether you have the right to bring an insanity defense.
Well, I think that stemmed from them getting their evidence overturned and not allowed and things admitted into the case that they tried to insert themselves and insert things to it that weren't real. And I'd be going insanity for the lawyers to plead the case that way from what that's known about it. And really, I've talked about as long as I can stand talking about it. I just know that this is a bad deal all the way around, and it shouldn't be. And the lawyers that brought that up are, to me, just as evil as the man that pulled the trigger.
Well, but you understand, Jim, it's the lawyer's duty to at least try to save their client's life. Under the system of justice we enjoy in the United States, everybody gets a defense, even the lowest of the lowest of the low.
I will agree to that to a point, but you have to do it in a sane manner.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, goodbye.
I'm trying to think of a time when the insanity defense worked, and I think the most infamous case would be, was it John Hinckley Jr.?
Yes.
That heard the voices telling him to do whatever?
No, he believed he was trying to impress Jody Foster by shooting Ronald
President Reagan.
Right.
And then did we just let him out on furlough to go see his
mama? I believe he's been furloughed to go to his parents' house on the weekends.
Yeah.
Nerd. But I don't think he's been released.
I get all
up.
Of those shooters around that time mixed up in my head. Hinckley Jr. was one of them, but there was the man who shot Lennon. Was he insanity defense or no?
Well, who shot John Lennon?
And then also which one was Sirhan
Chapman,
Sirhan?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, William Chapman.
William David Chapman.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up whether that was. And then who was Sirhan Sirhan? That's
that
the
was
one I
no RFK.
Mark, okay. David Chapman.
Mark David Chapman. Thank
Mark
you.
David Chapman. I'm going to look up some of the cases where this has worked. And again, it's very rare if you have the right to use that defense that it does work. But I don't think it's like I was just out of my mind with rage at the time. I think it's more like voices were. It has to rise to a level of not just depravity of life, but mental illness.
Hinckley, by the way, has been released.
Chapman, by the way, was going to use the insanity defense, but as part of a plea deal, withdrew that.
Okay.
Huh. Hinckley was released in 2016, September 10th. He has to live full-time at his mother's home, As part of his release, he is prohibited from using alcohol, possessing any firearm, ammunition, other weaponry. He cannot print or go online for pornography.
Oh, God.
He cannot own a compact disc or online access to violent music. He is not allowed to speak to the press. He has to work at least 3 days per week. Now, who is going to hire that nut job? He can drive...
Oh, how would you like to live next to the mother?
He can drive no further than 30 miles from his mother's home and is required to see a psychiatrist twice a month.
Oh, you know who was ruled not guilty by reason of insanity? Lorena Bobbitt.
Oh.
No, really?
Oh. Yeah.
What'd she do? Never mind. Bob in Kansas City. Bob, hello.
Hey, he just took my thunder. Yeah, Elena Baba got away with it. She dismembered her husband, but he didn't die. And then she spent 60 days in a mental hospital, and they let her out.
I wonder.
What is going on in the background there? Are you at a fight?
No, I got a dog in the house. So anyway, they let her out after 60 days because she claimed insanity, temporary insanity, because she claimed that he beat her all the time.
Okay. All right, partner.
I'm going to look up if insanity defense works more often. Boom. Yes. Women are more likely to be successful using the insanity defense. And here's the big one we're forgetting.
Susan
it's not
Smith.
Even, nope. It's not even Bobbitt. It's Andrea Yates, who drowned those five children.
In Houston, yeah.
God, what an awful case. But yes, she was found, Yates, not guilty by reason of insanity. Let me look and see if there's numbers on it other than just women are more likely. Why do you think that is?
I think the legal system has a little bit more of a sympathetic ear for women because it's out of their nature.
Listen to this.
I'd agree to that.
They studied this. They asked judges, psychology students, and psychiatric clinicians to read the description of a homicide case for signs of legal insanity. They gave examples that had identical details, but differed by the gender of the perpetrator. And overall, those with female defendants were rated as more indicative of legal insanity than their male counterparts.
Bias, I tell you, bias.
Huh.
I think it's because we don't like to think of women in that way.
No, flip it around. It is impossible for most people to fathom that a woman could do that to her five children.
Or that Susan Smith could strap her kids into a car
and roll
and
that
let
car
it
into,
go
the water.
Into the lake.
And so if you're a juror, you're going, there's just no way as a mother you could do that.
Well, and it's a statistical departure anyway. I mean, the overwhelming majority of cases that make their way, serious offense cases that make their way through the judicial system are men.
True.
So already, even if it's, even if you factor out the whole I can't fathom doing this to my kids thing, you already have something that is different there because it's a woman standing before you in a prison jumpsuit.
But don't you think we're more likely than not, if a man commits the same crime, to say he's just evil, he should rot in hell,
give him
the electric chair.
Yeah.
If it's a woman, you say, especially if it's her children, you say she must have been crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so impossible to believe a mother could do what Andrea Yates did.
But I think at the root of that is the fact that we don't see statistically as many women in that situation, period.
Yeah.
Good point. Somebody wants to know on the text line, and I'll just be brief about this. What did 2020 do on Friday that was right or that what was wrong? The story in and of itself could have been really interesting to watch.
And parts of it were.
Parts of it were. They interviewed the daughter of Lisa Stacy, who Lisa Stacy was killed by Johnny Robinson.
They've never found her.
They've never found Lisa Stacy. But they did find Heather Robinson, or Tiffany Stacy, whatever name you want to go with. And they interviewed her, and they brought her to Kansas City. And that part was, in and of itself, rather interesting. However, it was a two-hour show. It was, as I texted you, Dana, over the weekend, horribly discombobulated. there didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to the way that they went with the show. And it was all over the map. And then Amy Robach, who is on Good Morning America, based out of New York, did her stand-ups.
Four of them.
In a car.
In a moving car nowhere
in New York,
Kansas City. I assume she was in New York. It might have been Chicago. I'll tell you where it was not.
It was not in Kansas City. It was almost as if they filmed the stand-ups, and that's when you see the reporter on the screen, and they say, you know, and then later, blah, 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 blah. She did it in a car. It almost appeared like she was doing it on her morning commute to Good Morning America.
It was bad.
It was horrible.
It was her trying to pretend that she was here.
When she was in New York.
Even if you don't know how these stories are put together, you didn't buy it. She was so obviously not here, trying to pretend like she was here.
Yeah.
And that bothered me.
So
is ABC so hard up they can't fly Amy Robach to Kansas City to at least pretend like she covered some of this?
Did they have any, was there any footage that was actually current, not file footage? Was there any new footage from Kansas City?
Yes. Yes, there was. Where they had Heather Robinson slash Tiffany Stacy sitting down with former DA Paul Morrison.
Yeah.
That was obviously recent.
Mm-hmm.
There were plenty of... Obviously, they sent a producer to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because there were a lot of new, updated interviews with people who were...
Detectives.
Intimately involved in the case.
Yeah.
But Amy Robach was the, quote, anchor on the story.
Right, it was her piece.
And all of her stand-ups were shot from the passenger seat of a moving car.
That's awful.
It was so bad, Will.
That's YouTube level right there.
She's like, got the steering wheel, and she goes, and then another woman disappeared. Mm-hmm. And she's just in this random car driving.
It's like she's driving to Good Morning America at Times Square.
Yeah, that is 100% unacceptable.
Turn signal sound in the background.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Cars honking.
It was so bad.
It was horrible.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that at all.
I watched it. Here's what I took away from it. If you don't want to watch it and you just want the takeaway, your heart will break for that daughter because... I don't know how you go through something like that. She found out at age 15 that her mom had been murdered and that her uncle's a serial killer. I mean, you would be messed up.
You can't pay for that kind of therapy.
No.
576-7798.
No, I tried not to hurt you. No, I tried. But I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad song.
Heard you guys are playing Dana Parks' bingo in there. What do you need?
Yeah.
Of course we are.
sad news today. After months of battling pancreatic cancer, Alex Trebek is hinting that his long tenure as host of Jeopardy may be nearing its end. Trebek telling CTV he has begun to get sores inside his mouth from the chemotherapy, which makes it difficult to enunciate. He sometimes hears himself slurring his words on the quiz show. I will keep doing it, the show, as long as my skills do not diminish, and they have started to diminish. That's too bad. That is too bad.
How long again has he hosted?
Oh, 35 years longer. 35 years, 8,000 episodes.
One of those things where, you know, like with Family Feud, they've had a whole host of different hosts since Richard Dawson passed away. But you cannot imagine Jeopardy without Alex Trebek.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just can't even imagine it. Like, I think someone else could do Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Even though Pat Sajak's done that for decades. But I just can't imagine someone else coming in and doing Jeopardy other than Alex Trebek.
I'm trying not to lose my head.
God bless him. Although someone, and this is true, Bob Barker Is he still living or did he retire or did he pass away?
Bob Barker is still alive.
Okay.
Hang on. Here
but
it is.
But when he retired, Drew Carey has done a good job with that. And I've gotten used to seeing Drew Carey.
Don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head, rapped this pioneering grandmaster.
Eric. Where's Grandmaster Flash?
Correct.
It's a wrap, 400.
I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. Rapped this notorious guy. Mary.
Who is Notorious B.I.G.?
Yes.
It's a wrap, 1200.
Another plane, another train, another bottle in the brain. The Beastie Boys rapped in No Sleep Till Here.
Brooklyn.
Eric.
What is Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, correct. Yeah, three clues left up there, Mary.
It's a wrap, 1600.
In Nothing But a G-Thang, this doctor rapped, Never Let Me Slip, because if I slip, then I'm slipping. Mary.
Who's Dr. Dre?
Yes.
It's a rap, 2000.
Public Enemy. You go ooh and ah when I jump in my car. People treat me like this Hall of Fame L.A. Lakers center. Mary.
Who's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yes, and I don't know why that's making you laugh so much.
God bless him.
Because it's you reading rap lyrics.
Yeah. It's so good.
Do you think they'll, if he steps down, do you think they'll replace him?
Yeah, of course. There's too much money involved. They would have to replace him.
How long has Jeopardy been
on? I was just going to say.
He's been on for 35 years. I think there was a host before him.
Is it one of the longest running TV game shows?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah, it debuted... the first time in 1964, this is actually one of many reboots of it. This particular version came along in 84, but it was around first from 64 to 75. There was an additional version between 74 and 75. And then the all-new Jeopardy, 1978 to 1979. So this is what, its fourth iteration?
Huh. By the way, people are writing in about 2020. It was so bad, I got confused. It was horrible. I don't know how anybody could have been an editor on that show on 2020 Friday night, where they talked about Johnny Robinson and Heather Robinson, Tiffany Stacy, whatever. I don't know how anybody could have green-lighted that and said, you know what, let's go. It was awful.
I just felt so sorry for her.
I did too.
And she's never met her biological father. It was just, you almost felt...
it was cheap.
Yeah, I God bless that girl.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.